Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents This Way Up, Zig's original breakthrough classic on achievement, by Zig Ziglar. Narrated by Zig Ziglar.
This is Zig Ziglar in his studio, and I know you've heard it said that self-praise is half scandal, and there might be some truth to that, but let me say this about this particular Amway series, which I call This Way Up. It's good. Not only is it good, but I really believe it's good for you and what you're doing. So let me commend you for going ahead and investing your money in the series. Now, obviously, you want to get the very best results out of it, so a couple of suggestions. Number one, let me suggest and urge you even to keep the series together. This way, you will have it at your disposal at all times. Now, one reason I encourage that is because we've done something most unusual here. We've expanded the series, re-recorded two or three of them, so that instead of just 6 hours on six tapes, you've got 9 hours on the six tapes. Now, we put this together in this manner. At the end of the message, many times we still have some tape left because, to be honest, it doesn't really cost that much more to give you 90 minutes than it does just 60 minutes. So what we do is we play you a magnificent song by the Zig Ziglar Singers, written directly out of the book, See You at the Top. Then we go into the next message. We did that because we could give you more for your money, and I believe you, like everybody else, are really interested in that. Incidentally, let me stress that this is copyrighted material, as we by law are required to mention to you at the end of each tape. And since we also talk so much about honesty and integrity, which Amway is worldwide famous for, I know that you will respect our request for no duplication. Now, one of the reasons this series is so effective is because it's done in front of live Amway audiences, and when I say live, I really do mean live. I want to urge you to remember the old saying that if you hear something, you might forget it. If you see it, you remember it. But if you see it, hear it, and do it, you will understand and therefore be successful. With this in mind, let me urge you to get a notebook as well as hopefully our goal planner, which goes along with this series of tapes. Now, put these two together, and when you're listening on occasion, when thoughts and ideas are triggered, be absolutely certain that you write them down. Then they will be yours from here on in. Now, without any further ado in the studio, hey, let's go to that live Amway audience and hear what it's all about. Now, listen carefully, and if you do, then I really will see you at the top.
I'd like to have you give the biggest, loudest hand for Zig Ziglar that Detroit has ever given. How about it? For Zig Ziglar!
My goodness alive, I don't appreciate that, but I certainly deserved it. So excited to see so many of the ladies here. Of course, that's Amway all the way when you got these ladies here. Never saw so many guys who were overmarried as badly as you are, I'll tell you. You know, not only do women dress an audience up so much, but women are just so much more practical than men. Like this lady down home, this bum came up to her on the street, you know, and said, ma'am, said, would you give me a dollar for a sandwich? She said, well, not until I've seen the sandwich. Now, you see, that's practical. Like the two ladies talking, one of them said, well, I didn't want to marry him for his money, but that was the only way I could get it. Now, you see, that's practical. And what I'm going to try to be this evening is very practical as we talk about a whole lot of things. And I like you. I'm excited. 2 years ago, my family and I were eating in a cafeteria in Dallas, Texas. It was a new cafeteria. And there was an awful lot of excitement because every time some new place opens, you know, everybody gathers around. And first week, we couldn't get in. Second week, we decided to give it a try. We walked in the front door, and we had to walk down the line this way. Then we turned around and walked back the other way. And then we turned, and now we finally were in the serving line to get the food. Now, the first one we went in, we could not even see the food. But when we got in the second phase of the line, we could look through. And I did, you know, and I said, hey, that looks good. I think I'll try that. And I come a little further, and I said, yeah, I want me some of that, too. And then a little further, and I say, yeah, that looks good. I'll try me some of that. Now, this is important. Because even though you might have a prodigious appetite, you flat can't eat everything in a cafeteria line. I wanted to pick out the very best and the things that appeal to me the most. Then when I got in the line, I was able to rather immediately determine exactly what I wanted. Got down to the end of the line, my bill looked like the foreign aid bill of the world, and I reached for my pocketbook. Little lady said, you don't have to pay until you've eaten the food and you head out the front door. Then we look for a little payment. And I kind of thought about that because, you see, in a way that's just like life, and in a way it's the exact opposite of life. We can choose exactly what we want life to give us. But the difference is, in life, you got to first make the deposit before you can make the withdrawal. Where there in the cafeteria line, I was able to choose what I wanted and eat it before I paid for it. In the game of life, all you need to do really is identify what you want out of life, then decide what you are willing to exchange for the things you really want. And so as I was thinking this evening about us getting together, I wanted to see what it is that you want in life. And I'm convinced that most of us are very much concerned about a lot of things, and although I recognize that with 2,000 people here, you people in the back will be unable to see the blackboard, don't worry, you're not being discriminated against, because even though those down front can see it, they can't read what I'm writing. Doesn't make a bit of difference. The reason I keep the notes is for my benefit, so I'll stay straight. So you just don't worry about what I'm writing on the blackboard. But what is it that most of us want in the tomorrows of our life? I'm persuaded beyond any doubt that all of us are interested in health and wealth and happiness. Now, I recognize the fact that there are some people who will occasionally say, well, I don't really want to earn a lot of money. I've always believed that any man or woman who said that would lie about other things, too. Now, don't misunderstand. I know there are a lot of ministers and a lot of social workers and a lot of educators who really did not get into that particular thing because they expected to get rich. But I've never seen one yet that would not accept a raise if it were offered. And all I'm really saying is things are relative, and what I want to talk about is more relatives, meaning simply that we get more of whatever we want. I'm going to talk about three different kinds of health. I'm going to talk about physical health, I'm going to talk about mental health, and I'm going to talk about spiritual health. Because man is physical, he is mental, and he is spiritual. And if you deal with only one or two phases of man, you're not going to glean all that life has to offer. And if you're hurting in one phase of your life, you're uncomfortable, you're hurting literally all over. Let's look at our physical health just for a moment. Our physical health is so tremendously important. If we take good care of our bodies simply will take us further and faster and enable us to do more with what we've got. You understand that so well because of the Nutrilite, which you offer to people as an example to help take care of their physical health. But let me ask you a question. If you had a $1 million horse, I want you to think about this. If you had a $1 million horse, would you invite the neighborhood kids in to feed him? Would you keep him out till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning drinking coffee or any other thing that might not be good for him? Would it not be absolutely true, in fact, that you would take care of that $1 million horse by making certain he got everything that would enable him to perform better when he was out performing? The answer is obviously, yes, you would. And here we have our $1 million bodies, which we constantly abuse and never really give any thought of taking care of it. Now, fortunately, in the last few years, many Americans have become aware of that, and they're taking better care of it. I know some of you have commented on the fact that I've lost some weight. Yes, I lost it 6 years ago. I'm still at 165, which is what I lost to 6 years ago. I got on an exercise program. Up until then, my idea of an exercise program would be to fill the tub, take a bath, pull the plug, and fight the current. I mean, that was it. But I became aware of the fact that if I took better care of this body of mine, that the body would take me further. No later than yesterday, a man said to me, Zig, how do you find time to jog? And I looked at him and said, you know, I've got so much to do, I don't have time not to jog. Think about it just for a moment. I invest 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week in jogging. As a direct result of that, I have an increased energy and work capacity that will enable me to work at least an hour and a half and probably 2 to 2.5 hours more a day. I invest a minute, I get 3 minutes back for it instantly. I've got so much to do, I do not have time not to run. I believe that we invested wisely, we'll get it back many times over. Now, I'm going to talk more in this series, frankly, about our mental health than about any other phase of our health, because it's an interesting fact that most of us have a mental diet which is absolutely incredibly poor. Give you an example. No later than today, I was listening to some motivational recordings, and they're talking about the mind. They've done a lot of things as far as exploration is concerned. As you know, they compare the mind to the computer. And this particular scientist is an expert. I have much confidence that he knew exactly what he was talking about. In talking with a computer expert, had estimated that if you could replace the human mind, if they could develop a computer which was equal to the human mind, that the price of it would be a minimum of $100 million, an enormous amount of money. We recently added a computer to our own business. It's a small computer, cost in the neighborhood of $50,000. Now, for a small business, that's a reasonable investment. We brought in an expert, a lady who's going to be with us temporarily, to program the computer because, you see, the computer is no more effective than the programmer which puts the information, the input into that computer. Now, let me ask you, if you had a $100 million computer, what kind of computer expert or programmer would you bring in to program your $100 million computer? Well, let me tell you the program computer that the average American and the average Canadian brings in to program their $100 million computer. They bring in people, and many times they're people whom they've seen on television. And what is most of the programming coming in on television? I don't think I need to do too much elaboration, but let me run some phrases through your mind that you might hear on the streets. Obviously, you'll never hear these things at Amway meetings or from Amway people, but do any of this sound familiar? Two-year-old. What does the average person call a two-year-old in today's society? Anybody? What do they refer to as the twos? Anybody? The terrible twos. Isn't that incredible? Now, here's the interesting thing. Every time a brand new baby comes home, and I know all of you have seen all of these things, the brand new baby comes home, and there's a proud papa. And before that young'un gets home, what's daddy done? He's gone down to the sporting goods store, bought him a baseball bat and a football helmet, and he's telling all of his friends that that guy's already trying to date the nurse before he gets out of the hospital. Is this not so? Say yes. Yes. Absolutely, okay? If it's a girl, obviously it's Miss America all the way. Never any question about it. And by the time they're 3 days old, they're carrying on extended conversation with the parents. The smartest, the brightest, the most beautiful, the finest developed physical specimen ever known to man. And for about 2 years, that's exactly what happens. And then one day, that 8-pounder grows into a 20-pounder and starts doing a little thinking on its own and starts getting out and asserting itself. And now mama and daddy can't keep that young'un right in its place. And mama and daddy doesn't necessarily like that anymore. And so what do? They start trying to put that young'un back down, you know, because they could deal with it better as an infant. Now, this is especially true if mother and dad are a little insecure themselves and if their images are not so good. Now, what's the conversation that generally goes on around the average child? You ever hear grandparents say, "You better enjoy your babies while they're babies, because I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, they're going to get up, and they're going to get away from you, and they're going to do exactly what they want to do, and what you want them to do don't make no difference at all. You better keep them while you got them under your thumb." How many times have I heard it? Now, all of a sudden, this marvelously brilliant, beautiful, athletically endowed child at age 2, all of a sudden we begin to see a lot of things begin to change. And now the negative input begins to enter in that child's life. Now, who's programming the baby? Let me tell you something. Whatever you put in, going to come out. Let me remind you of some of the conversations which takes place. An overweight person sits down to the table and says, "Everything I eat turns to fat." Mother sends your child off school and says, "Now don't you get run over." Somebody has a wreck out on the highway and somebody else says, "Call the wrecker." You already had the wreck. What you need is a tow truck, but you see, the conversation itself, our terminology, is negative. Somebody brings out a fresh loaf of bread, and they take one slice off of it, and what do they call the very first slice? The end. Why, it's the beginning. You see what I'm getting at? The programming that we begin to enforce upon our children is absolutely amazing. Most of us wake up with the aid of an electronic rooster. Now, what do they refer to, or what do they call that electronic rooster? Anybody? Alarm clock. Man, you hear an alarm when they're robbing a bank or there's a fire going on. If you wake up scared to death, no wonder people end up being negative. Truth of the matter is, it's an opportunity clock. And it's obviously an opportunity clock, because if you hear it, that means you got an opportunity to get up. Now, friend, if you don't hear it, that means you just lost that opportunity. I mean, you've gone. The conversation is essentially negative, and so the programming in this computer is amazing. Now, rather obviously, you'd be careful about selecting the computer or the programmer, or would you? Isn't it amazing how many people bring in all of the experts who are anything but experts to run their lives? The average American family today, and I assume in Canada it's about the same thing, but the average American family literally watches television. The television sets on 6 hours and 15 minutes a day, and the average American watches television 4 hours every day. Incredible. Now, I know that obviously is not true with you and Amway, because you've got so many other things to do. But what I'm really saying is, and I identify this because you have to deal with the people who's had that kind of an input over a period of time, because the programming, you see, has been taking place. Your teenage son or daughter, by the time they've graduated from high school, have witnessed 13,000 violent murders and over 40,000 forcible rapes. That's right. They have witnessed over 250,000 absolutely violently devastating physical acts of violence. They've heard millions of profane, obscene words. Now, you know, we wonder sometimes why we have so much teenage burglary, so much homicide, so much rape. We wonder why there is so much illegitimacy, why so many pregnancies, why so much venereal disease. You know what I wonder? I wonder why it's not more. And I wonder why it's not more because of all of the input of those things, because a long time ago, the good book said it so beautifully when it said, "As ye sow, so also shall ye reap." And you don't even have to believe that in order for it to be a fact. It's one of those laws that's kind of like the law of gravity. You step off the roof of a 20-story building, doesn't make a bit of difference whether you believe in the law of gravity or not. 1,000 times out of 1,000 down, you're going to come, are you not? Now, we're glad it works every time, aren't we? Wouldn't it be frustrating to get up every morning and stick your foot out the side of the bed wondering, well, is that dude going to go down or up? We know it's going to work every time. And why do I talk about this? I talk about it because, you see, whatever has been programmed into our mind, if it's done on a negative basis, then we can reverse it and begin to program on a positive basis. Let me get you to do one little thing for me so that I might properly demonstrate exactly what I'm talking about. Would you empty your hands just for a moment? Now, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And then I'd like for you just to slap your hands. Would you do that for me, please? Okay. 1, 2, 3, go. Feel kind of silly, don't you? And I know how you feel. That's the way I felt when I did what you just did. And I did what you just did for the same reason you did what you just did. I've been programmed, conditioned all of my life to do that. When you were an hour old, laying down in the crib of the hospital, you heard some words come down the corridor. Well, Charlie, you can't believe everything you hear. Now, you all know that, Charlie. Can't believe everything you hear. And from that moment until this, you've heard those words a million times. A million times. But you also heard something else during that first hour. Listen, friend, I was there. I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes. And seeing is believing. And despite the fact that it ain't necessarily so, you've been conditioned to believe that all you got to do is see it, and what you're seeing is happening. Now, what I mean when I say it's not necessarily so, very simple. If you and I were to see a traffic accident, same time, same place, under identical the same circumstances, chances are excellent, 20 minutes later, you'd be given a wrong report. At least one of us would be given a wrong report. Maybe both of us. We see our Sunday's heroes on television, you know, and the good guy goes out to catch a pass, and just as about to catch it, the bad guy comes along, knocks it away. And we jump up and rant and rave and whoop and shout and holler and scream and accuse the official of being dumb and blind and prejudiced. Why, he fouled our man. He fouled our man. And then they run a replay. And we say, well, maybe he did finally get one right, but it's about time. He's been missing them all day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been conditioned to believe a lot of ridiculous things in our society. For example, we've been conditioned to believe, for example, that smoking. All you got to do is look at some of the commercials. And if you read them carefully, they suggest that if you smoke, you're masculine or feminine, that it improves your sex appeal. What they really say is, look, all you got to do is just smoke me. And never again will any member of the opposite sex be able to say no. You. And it's so effective that last year 600 billion cigarettes were sold, and the average American child has decided to smoke by the time it's 7 years old. Now, some of them don't get started till they're nearly 10, but I mean the decision has been made. Well, the question is, does smoking cigarettes really make you sexually more attractive to members of the opposite sex? Think about it for a moment. See, when you kiss somebody who's been smoking, it's a little like licking an ashtray. But you've been conditioned to believe otherwise, and so down to the store they go and buy them by the billions and billions of dollars worth every single year. We've been conditioned to believe in our country that one person cannot really make any difference in the overall picture. But don't ever try to sell that idea to Laurie Cox from Scottsdale, Arizona. Laurie, 3 years ago, had the idea that we really ought to be saying the Pledge of Allegiance and saluting the flag of the United States of America. And so she went to her teacher and suggested that idea. And the teacher thought that Laurie was off base. And so Laurie went to the principal and said, we ought to be saying the Pledge of Allegiance and saluting the flag. And the principal thought that Laurie was a little bit kooky. And so Laurie, determined that she had an idea, went to every student at Coronado High School in Scottsdale, Arizona, got 3,000 signatures. You see, Laurie had a belief. She believed that if you saluted the flag when you were children, that if there was an Afghanistan, if there was a Pakistan, if there were an Iran, if there were a Cuba, if there were a need, then if you've been conditioned patriotically as a child, that as a man or a woman, when the need arose, you were not only willing to serve and defend that flag, but you were anxious to do exactly that. One person makes a difference. And if you don't believe it, you just go to Ada, Michigan and talk to a couple of guys named J. Van Andel and Rich DeVos. See, 20 years ago, less than 20 years ago, really, They could have held their national sales meeting in your bathroom. And today the sun doesn't set on an Amway distributor. I personally know some of the big Crown Directs who will produce over $100 million worth of business this year. That's right. Had the privilege of meeting an Amway distributor in Norfolk, Virginia. A couple of weeks later, I was in Hawaii and met one that the man in Norfolk had sponsored. The next day, I was speaking for an Amway group in Sydney, Australia. Met one sponsored by the person in Hawaii. In less than 2 weeks' time, I had seen an organization that the sun never set on. You see, one person can have an impact. You talk about $1 billion worth of business, and that's a lot of business. But friends, let me tell you what $1 billion really means. $1 billion means over $500 million in profits. And what does $500 million in profits translate to? It translates into thousands of magnificent homes. It translates into hundreds of thousands of straight teeth and well-clothed bodies. It translates into college educations for youngsters who otherwise never would have had them. It translates into the divorcee or the widow or the elderly couple or that senior citizen. It translates into them being able to maintain their dignity and work right as long as they want to and realize an incredible income. That's what that kind of business really translates into. So you can get carried away with that big old figure and it doesn't mean anything until you see somebody who's never really taken a nice trip or driven a nice car or had a marvelous vacation or been able to buy their wife a nice diamond ring or a fur coat or some of those things or get on stage in front of 2,000 people. You see, that's what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about a lot of the fringe benefits. The third kind of health I want to talk to is about your spiritual health. You know, at best, you're probably not going to live to be over 120 years old, and most people won't make it even that far. But your soul will live forever. And therefore, as we go into any kind of a personal development program, to involve yourself only into that part of you which is going to live 75 or 100 years or a whole lot less, and ignore that part which will live forever, it seems to me, is a terrible, terrible mistake and an oversight. So we're going to look at all of those. I'm going to talk about money because I believe money is important. I don't know about you, I've had it and I haven't had it, and I can tell you from personal experience, it's better to have it, considering everything else. Most people don't understand money. They talk about cold, hard cash, and that's crazy. It's neither cold nor hard. It's very soft, very warm. But you know, it's amazing the number of people who've been improperly conditioned as far as money is concerned. They talk about it like it's something kind of bad to have. Well, I got news for you. The Bible talks more about success than it does heaven. There are over 700 direct references to money in the Bible. Some of my Christian friends occasionally come up to me and they'll say, "How do you reconcile all that talk about money with Christianity?" And I always grin and say, "It's easy. You know, I think God made the diamonds for his crowd, not Satan's bunch." My Bible tells me that Jacob was a millionaire, that Moses was a millionaire, that Abraham had more cattle than the loudest mouthed Texan that we got. Tells me that Solomon was the richest man who ever lived. Even old Job wouldn't have qualified for the food stamp program, if you know what I mean. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. Get as much as you want. Just don't let the money get you. Now, I want to talk a lot about happiness because, you see, there's so many people that have not the slightest concept about happiness. They think happiness is a where and a when, and it belongs to somebody else. A lot of people think, you know, when I get to be a diamond, then I'll be happy. Then you'll be happy when you get to be a double diamond. No way. Then you'll be happy when you get to be a triple diamond. No way. Then you'll be happy when I get to be a crown or a crown ambassador. Then you'll be happy when you got 40 personally sponsored directs. No, you won't. Then you'll be happy when you got 400 downline. A lot of people say, well, I'll be happy when I get the new house. No way. You'll be happy then when you got the new furniture. Then you're going to be happy, you know, when you got the landscaping done. No, you won't. Then you'll be happy when you get the mortgage paid off. Then you'll be happy when you've added the new room to the house. No way. Then you'll be happy when... See, happiness is not a where nor a when. Let me tell you how to become instantly a great deal happier than you are at this moment. How many of you would like to be instantly happier than you are right now? Okay? Here's what I want you to do. Just for one moment, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine just for 1 or 2 seconds, I want you to imagine that every material thing on the face of this earth that you now have would suddenly take away from you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?